hello, hello. Welcome to Be Bold America. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Be Bold America is a live biweekly talk show for those who are motivated to step out with the bold actions necessary to reunite this country, fight for democracy, and learn what they can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to recapture our democratic republic. What you can do now is vote. Our future depends on it. Our program today is LGBTQ History Month and the presidential election. October, this month, is the 15th anniversary of LGBTQ History Month. The LGBTQ community is the only community worldwide that is not taught its history at home, in public schools, or in religious institutions. Think about that for a moment. Yet it's so important to our gay and lesbian friends and family that we learn this history. Also, the presidential election is 9 days away, and depending who wins, what outcomes may lay ahead for the LGBTQ community and what impacts will there be with the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court? We have big things to do. Today, we have two special guests. First is Michelangelo Signorelli. Michelangelo is a journalist, author, and creator of the Signorelli Report that may be found at Signorelli.substack.com, and he's a radio host. His radio program, The Michelangelo Signorelli Show on SiriusXM Radio, is aired each weekday across the United States, Canada, and globally online. Michelangelo was editor-at-large for HuffPost. He's a political liberal and covers a wide variety of political and cultural issues. Michelangelo is noted for his various books and articles on gay and lesbian politics, and is outspoken supporter of gay rights. In August 2011, Michelangelo was inducted into the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association LGBT Journalist Hall of Fame. Michelangelo, welcome to Be Bold America. I'm delighted that you're on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jill. Great to be here.
Thank you. Well, it is my pleasure. And our next guest is Adam Spickler. Adam was elected to the Cabrillo College Board of Trustees in 2018 to represent roughly 27,000 residents in Santa Cruz County. And Adam is the first openly transgender man to hold elected office at any level in the state of California. In addition to serving as a Cabrillo trustee, Adam is a senior analyst for the County of Santa Cruz Human Services Department. And prior to working for the county, Adam spent 7 years as senior district staff for two state lawmakers, California State Senator Bill Monning and former California State Assembly member and Secretary of Natural Resources, John Laird. Adam, welcome to Be Bold America. It is such a pleasure to speak with you, too.
Jill, thanks very much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And also, Adam, aren't you an active member in the Santa Cruz Democratic Party? Am I right?
Yeah, I volunteer a lot. I'm an elected member of the Santa Cruz County Democratic Central Committee,
which
is a long way of saying our county's chapter of the state Democratic Party.
Oh, I thought I remembered that. Now, turning to you, Michelangelo, there are several issues I want to cover today during this hour together, such as the presidential election and what outcomes are likely for the LGBTQ community, depending on who the winner is, and the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett, who terrifies me, by the way. But first, please share with us what LGBTQ History Month is and some important icons that have been honored for their contributions.
Well, it's so important to have a month where we look at history and we look at people who've made enormous contributions and were pioneers in LGBTQ history. And sometimes people get overlooked. And as you said earlier as well, queer people are not taught their history by parents, unlike other groups that experience oppression. You're often brought up by people most of the time who are not a member of the same minority. And so that history has to be sought out, but more importantly, it should be taught. And California is leading the way in making sure that schools teach history and teach about the contributions of LGBTQ people. And also about every culture and how there have been people within all of the cultures within this country, going back, of course, to the people who have been here way before Europeans came here, Native Americans, and the rich history of transgender people, or what, you know, we would now describe in using that word, or two-spirited, as have been called by Native Americans, and really embraced sexual diversity as well. And it really is something that needs to be taught, because it was the European Christian teaching that taught that LGBT people, or homosexuality, certainly transgender people as well, are somehow sinful and perverse, and really created the horrible situation we're in now, where we've had for many years laws against people who are LGBTQ, and we've had to fight, and we've had enormous success in fighting and winning rights and getting laws struck down and getting equality in so many areas. But obviously we're challenged right now. The Trump administration has been just abhorrent in stripping away rights. And so LGBTQ history is about reminding people of those pioneers and those people in history who really led the way and told us what we were about and where we needed to go.
Well, I think of you as one of those icons. Who else would you like to tell us about it?
Well, of course, there was the great Harvey Milk, who, as a San Francisco supervisor, really kind of broke ground as a political leader and someone who showed all of us the possibilities of leading in the political world and leading in a way that could organize and could work within the political system, because previously there had been such invisibility, and really talked about the importance of being open and being out, and visibility, the importance of visibility in all aspects of life. And then, of course, we see the pioneers at Stonewall, who I think about all the time, people like Sylvia Rivera, people like Marsha P. Johnson, transgender women who led the way for many, transgender women of color, people who were members of several minorities that were under enormous attack and were challenged to, and really challenged to be out and to lead, because they didn't have a choice to be hidden and to somehow blend in. Those, to me, are the people who are the pioneers, the people who really led in that way, because they had no choice but to be open, be out, and really underscored how important it was to have that representation.
Well, I like the word visibility, because visibility builds comfortability. People just get more comfortable with your friends and families and neighbors, with that visibility being built. Adam, did you have anything you wanted to add to this?
You know, I do. Thanks
Good.
For asking.
Yeah,
and,
I didn't forget
really
you.
No. I knew that, and I appreciate very much the perspective Michelangelo just shared. I like that I get to bring it to the local. When I think about how we have delved into LGBTQ History Month here in Santa Cruz, it's really exciting to me. One thing I want to make sure you're aware of and listeners are aware of, in Santa Cruz County, the County Office of Education has always been a really great proponent of supporting LGBTQ curriculum. As soon as laws shifted in the state of California, making it so that LGBTQ curriculum could be, should be, was encouraged to be shared in the classrooms. It was really up to school districts to find the money, the resources, and the will to bring that education in. And we've had a lot of champions here locally. This year, under the leadership of Dr. Farah Sabah, our county superintendent of schools, he brought in LGBTQ History Month through the County Office of Education. And I have been asked by, I'd say, about six students so far this month and requested by two QSAs this month to come and speak. And I know I'm not the only one. I know that they're reaching out to a lot of other youth, old folks like me, but people in the queer community. And this is great because we're all sharing and telling our stories about the things we've done locally that's made an impact in our LGBTQ history here in our county. It's pretty phenomenal. And another thing that just on an ongoing basis that happens locally, the County Office of Education also serves with an LGBTQ task force countywide made up of from every school district, there's a representative. So that in a centralized way, the County Office of Education is making sure that curriculum gets, there's agreement among all the school districts, there's a rep for every school district, and it's happening at all of the school levels. And I can tell you from the Cabrillo's level at the college level, in the last 3 years, we have created an Office of Equity for the college. And since I became a trustee at the college, we now have, which we didn't have before, an LGBTQ Student Resource Center, the Sylvia Rivera LGBTQ Resource Center. I'm really excited that's the name of it. And the way in which we've been able to, I don't want to say begin, because I think faculty at Cabrillo have been bringing LGBTQ perspectives in a really meaningful way across different disciplines. It's been happening phenomenal at Cabrillo for a lot of years. But having the Office of Equity as a central place where understanding how to break down bias and providing teachers and administrative staff with tools that they may not necessarily have had before is just such a fundamentally important piece of how we live LGBTQ History Month tenets throughout the entirety of the year. So wanted to make sure and discuss that. And then the other thing I would just say, there are a lot of local heroes here. You can't talk about LGBTQ history in our county without mentioning folks like John Laird, without mentioning folks like Reverend Deborah Johnson, the members of the GLBT Alliance, who have been around for about 20 years since, I believe it was in the 1990s when the No on Night initiative or Prop 22 came about in our state, which was, it was already illegal for folks to get married. But if same-sex couples wanted to go to another state where it was legal, get married, it was an initiative on the ballot to make sure that that marriage would not be recognized in the state of California.
Oh,
and out of that sprung the GLBT Alliance, where to work against that initiative, and while it did pass statewide, it failed big time in Santa Cruz County because of work we did on the ground. And the GLBT Alliance has been going strong ever since.
Well, it was
and
nice.
And I could talk for quite a long time. There.
Well, we have more time together. Well, it was nice to hear Michelangelo say that California is leading the way. And after hearing you, it makes me very proud of what Santa Cruz County is doing in California. You're listening
quite
to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. Listen globally from KSQD.org homepage or catch up on previous shows by visiting the KSQD Be Bold America webpage, or subscribe using your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
Election Day is fast approaching. It is sure to be a nail-biter, and KSQD 90.7 FM will be here for you with special election coverage from 3 p.m. until midnight. I am Catherine Bell of the Dream Journal, along with Christine Barrington of Talk of the Bay and Jill Cody of Be Bold America. We will be taking the early shift from 3 to 6 p.m. on November 3rd. We invite you to tune in and keep informed while lowering your stress levels with great guests, joyful music, inspiring ideas, and your calls as we watch together the struggle for America's soul. Turn down corporate media and turn up community media on Election Day by tuning into your station, K-Squid, the station of the people, by the people, and for the people, right here on KSQD 90.7 FM, Community Radio of Santa Cruz.
Today, our topic is LGBTQ History Month and the presidential election. We're speaking with Michelangelo Signorelli of the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on SiriusXM Radio that airs each weekday across the United States, Canada, and globally online, and Adam Spickler, a Cabrillo College Board of Trustees and the first openly transgender man to hold elected office at any level in the state of California. Now, Michelangelo, I received a comment on Facebook, and I wanted to read it to you and get your, and I don't know that it's really framed in a question, but I frame it as a question at the end. And the comment I received was, I support the LGBTQ community and celebrate all the many contributions made by people who identify as gay or lesbian. I just don't want to know if this is an anti-Trump radio show on 1025. Or will it be fair and unbiased regarding the election? I would hope the LGBTQ supporters of Trump would have a voice, and also the fact that Rick Grenell is a superstar in Trump's administration who is openly gay and never felt like his sexuality mattered to Trump, just the ability to do the job. So, Michelangelo, what has been Trump's impact on the LGBT community? As an honored journalist, is there a way to be fair and unbiased regarding the election?
Well, I believe it's fair and unbiased to say that it's been a devastating impact because Donald Trump has courted the enemies of LGBTQ equality and has made sure that they were a major component of his base, of his election in 2016 as well as now. And he has fulfilled many of their, greatest demands regarding taking away the rights of LGBTQ people, stripping rights for transgender people in healthcare, ejecting transgender people from the military, people who were serving honorably in this country, fighting at the Supreme Court to allow employers to discriminate against gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender workers, and even the Supreme Court that he had stacked didn't go with, along with that. There are some people that he has supporting him who are gay or LGBTQ, just as there are people of other minority groups, but that doesn't mean that he's not hurting this community, and it certainly doesn't, make up for what he has done. If they are willing to accept, the horrendous things he's done, that's their choice. But the facts are the facts, and the religious right, the extremists of the Christian evangelical movement who organize within the Christian evangelical movement have done enormous active work at taking away LGBTQ rights, and he has helped them to do it and helped them to foster that movement, and has taken action through executive action as well as what he has supported with regard to cases in the courts as well, and people he's put on the courts, not just the Supreme Court, but throughout the judiciary, have been just the most active opponents of rights for LGBTQ people, including supporting conversion therapy including supporting allowing discrimination, often in the name of religious, quote-unquote, freedom. So those are the facts, and that is unbiased.
Adam, any thoughts?
Well, I think I couldn't agree more with everything Michael Ansel just stated. And I think, you know, the other perspective I think is that's important to hold is one of the unique things about the LGBTQ plus community is that is one identity many of us have others. There are LGBTQ people of color, immigrants, people of all religious and national minorities in this country. And when you think about all of the ways in which the Trump administration and in both meeting the needs, quote-unquote needs, of his base and his supporters, financial backers, the things that he's done to essentially dismantle the rights of so many marginalized and disenfranchised groups throughout the 4 years that he, nearly 4 years he's been in office. And I think both because so many members of the LGBTQ community belong to other groups, and also because we, even for those of us who don't, we as queer individuals have experienced enough discrimination, understand what it's like, having had the experience in walking in the shoes of someone who faced discrimination, to understand and just wholly take on how wrong all of these initiatives have been. It's just, it's an affront. I, as a white person who is not a person of color, I am deeply offended by the actions his administration has taken and the inactions it has taken around racial justice. Just as an example, and I think to me, it's important not to overlook the intersectionalities that we hold in the LGBTQ community and know that an attack on any of us is an attack on all of us.
Yes.
And I think the LGBTQ community embraces and understands that perhaps more so than other allied communities might do. So I think that's an important perspective.
Yes. I'm just as offended as a hetero woman. I am just as offended because I have friends and neighbors and people that I love, and to watch what this administration has been doing and saying. And now, and Michelangelo brought up that the religious freedom, somehow it's been flipped upside down where, you know, religious freedom means that you can practice any religion you want. It doesn't mean you can use your beliefs to dictate what others can and cannot do. The religion guides you, not all of us. And this leads into Amy Coney Barrett.
I was just going to segue.
Yes.
Which is interesting, and I'll be brief. The comments that so many people have rightly so made throughout the hearings. If we were looking at a woman of faith, of any other faith than her Christian background, if we were looking at a Jewish woman, an Islamic woman, would we still be holding the same amount of grace as a nation towards the level of okayness about her obvious religious, the intersection of religion to her in the work she does judicially? I would venture to say it would not be as acceptable for a vast majority of people. And that's, to me, the antithesis of the argument we're talking about here.
Michelangelo, you wrote on your Signorelli report, why Amy Coney Barrett's comments on sexual preference are ominous. She used preference instead of orientation. This is a question that I've been really excited to ask you about, is the disaster that is Amy Coney Barrett.
Well, I first want to say and make clear, because I wrote a couple of pieces, and I wanted to make clear that the concern about Amy Coney Barrett when it comes to LGBTQ rights and so many other issues are about her record and her possibly using her religious beliefs to back those up and back up her judicial opinions and legal opinions, not her religious beliefs in and of themselves. She's welcome to believe whatever she wants. Her record is what is so concerning. She has publicly said that she supported John Roberts' blistering dissent in the marriage equality ruling. She has publicly signed a letter that said marriage is between a man and a woman that was sent to the American bishops by a whole bunch of professional women, conservative women. So, I mean, these are her positions and statements that she has made. And she has also said that she doesn't really have deference for precedent, that, you know, you should read the Constitution the way you think. So it should be. So when you put it all together, it's very, very concerning. And her religious beliefs, whatever they, you know, may be, shouldn't really factor into it. It's whether or not she is using them to fuel her legal opinions. When she used the word sexual preference, she was using a term that is outdated, outmoded, both in popular culture, but also in legal opinions and legal circles. And this is a woman who's relatively young. She's 48 years old. She certainly knows that sexual orientation is the term that is used. Sexual preference is a term that is used by anti-LGBTQ conservatives. And she spoke before a group that paid her, the Alliance Defending Freedom, that has in their mission statement, they are trying to recriminalize homosexuality around the world. They are trying to sterilize transgender people abroad. I mean, they support these efforts. So when she used sexual preference, she was using their language. And for someone who, as I said, is relatively young, it really set off alarm bells among many people.
Well, I know that...
I just want to underscore why, because they use that term because they want to promote the idea that homosexuality is a choice, or sexual orientation is a choice, and gender identity as well. And so then they can push conversion therapy. That's the point of using this term preference. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. I just know it's delicate to talk about one's religion, but this is the United States Supreme Court. And, you know, as I said just a minute ago, you know, religious freedom means that you can practice any religion you want. And that's true. She can practice hers. But it doesn't mean you can use your beliefs to dictate what others can and cannot do. And I feel that the U.S. Supreme Court has already dictated what others can and cannot do through the Hobby Lobby decision. And who is the baker that got sued with baking a cake, even though he was open to the public? And I'm very concerned about her being on the Supreme Court and in a position where she can dictate to others. Michelangelo, your thoughts on that?
Well, it's very concerning, and there's a case that she'll be hearing regarding adoption by gay couples. That is coming up, and it again frames around this issue of religious freedom. Do agencies have to make sure that they don't discriminate when they're getting state money, federal money, when they are placing kids in homes? These are all the thorny issues that are coming before the court. And there's a real fear that there'll be carve-outs for religious liberty that hollow out marriage equality, for example, or even what this court just did with regard to anti-discrimination laws or protections within the 1964 Civil Rights Act, that gay and transgender people can't be discriminated against. They'll hollow out these exemptions that, well, yes, you can be if it's for religious reasons. That's what people are worried about.
Adam, I'm going to get back to you after our next station identification. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
Buddhism, Judaism, Baha'i, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism. Sound interesting? Faith Matters is a unique bi-monthly program that explores spirituality, life, and meaning with local religious leaders. We discuss areas of common ground and also identify distinct differences among diverse spiritual perspectives. Join us on the second and fourth Sunday evening of every month from 6 to 7 as we have thought-provoking conversations about faith matters on 90.7 KSQD.
And we're back. Our topic is LGBTQ History Month and the presidential election. We're speaking with Michelangelo Signorelli of the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on Sirius XM Radio and author of the Signorelli Report. Sign up for it at signorelli.substack.com. And Adam Spickler, a Cabrillo College Board of Trustees and Senior Analyst for the County of Santa Cruz Human Services Department. Now, back to our bold and impressive guests. Adam, your thoughts on the conversation we were having a few minutes ago?
Yes, I share, definitely share the concerns that Michelangelo brought up. I am in particular, religious freedom and the case that is coming up is certainly going to reveal, I think, what we're all anticipating to find out where the court is. And I think it's going to be, what I'm fearing is that it's going to be the tip of the iceberg. There's actually a case, and I don't believe it's been scheduled yet, that I'm going to be watching really closely. Its origins are here in California. Dignity Health has brought a case to the Supreme Court. They were denying care to transgender patients based on religious freedom. And that, to me, is the next step that I'm fearing the most. The Philadelphia case that Michelangelo was speaking about is very scary to me. Finding in favor of religious institutions the ability to deny foster care and adoption to same-sex couples is a huge step backwards for LGBTQ rights and equality. And in a different but yet extremely similar way, if this upcoming Supreme Court hears this case where it was, I believe, in outside of Sacramento in California, there was a transgender individual who was denied a hysterectomy at, I believe it was Mercy, a hospital through Dignity Health, based on their hospital's religious policies. And for the Supreme Court to find that a health care provider is allowed legally to deny any kind of care for members of the transgender community, this is a whole new tipping in a really dangerous direction for the LGBTQ community. For healthcare providers, any essential medical service providers to be able to claim a religious exemption and otherwise deny needed care, I'm alarmed beyond belief.
Well, as a woman, I'm old enough to remember what it was like before Roe v. Wade. I remember losing friends in high school to botched abortions. And I'm very concerned about Amy Coney Barrett's views on women's rights as well. I don't know, Michelangelo, can a U.S. Supreme Court justice be impeached? I'm already thinking that way.
The Supreme Court justice can be impeached, but it's just as difficult as it is to impeach a president. You need 60 votes in the Senate. And even if Democrats do take back the Senate, and I hope they take it back with as many seats as possible, I don't know if they'll get that 60-vote threshold. That's why the discussion among progressives has shifted to expanding the court, which is perfectly within the Constitution. It's been done before. Adding new justices to the court to make sure that it is balanced and fair.
Yes, and I know the media and other people have been using the word packing the court, and that's wrong language when it comes to the Democrats. Yeah. The Democrats want to pack the court. It's expanding the court, and you use just the right word, because I think that it's the Republican Party is packing the court with the Federalist Society pre-screen members, and, you know, they are a big step towards what Newt Gingrich was working for years ago about one-party rule at that by taking over the judiciary. Adam, your comments?
Yeah, no, and we should be really clear what packing the courts means politically. I had an opportunity to meet with staff from Dianne Feinstein's office almost 2 years ago now, and really getting to hear the process around what has historically and typically been the blue paper process, where when at any federal court level, when there was a judicial nominee coming up, where the majority leader would send information to, you know, if there was going to be a court in one of the Midwest states where there was a nominee, the representatives in that area would get a heads up. There would be some vetting. There would be discussion even before the nomination was brought to the Senate for hearings. And that's completely dissipated. And that you can only point your finger at Donald Trump so much for the nomination process. This is 100% the making of Mitch McConnell, mm-hmm. doing away with the kind of informal process that had been in place for years and years and years of having bipartisan support as any federal judicial nomination process begins. Completely gone. He has ignored any effort to try to get bipartisan folks across the aisle working together, and has just ramrodded judicial nominees through. And we've seen what's happened. I can't remember the exact percentage this state, but the number of judicial nominees appointed by this administration has tipped the courts in such a conservative and religious-leaning direction. It's horrifying. Mm-hmm. That's what packing the courts is.
Yes.
The talking about expanding the Supreme Court, I think, is important. To me, it underscores the most important reason to put 150% of our support behind Biden and Harris. But it also begs the question, what do we do about the circuit courts across this country? And I don't know that an expansion of courts throughout the circuits is the answer here, but we've certainly seen a tipping in a conservative way that is going to have repercussions at every level. And we really, you know, things aren't going to rise up to the level of the Supreme Court. They're going to have outcomes that are just devastating at a lower circuit level.
Well, Santa Clara County,
we need to pay attention to.
You're absolutely right. And Santa Clara County, not but a year or two ago, did impeach a judge. And it just seems to me that the Democratic Party needs to have to develop a new campaign of impeaching judge on those level of courts too, because the courts and the Supreme Court are going in a totally different direction, because PRRI in their 2020 American survey that they just published determined that 70%, now how many Americans agree at 70% levels, support same-sex marriages? 70%, and here's the courts going in a different way. Michelangelo?
Well, it's interesting that new poll that came out, 70% of Americans support marriage equality, but soon just about 70% of the Supreme Court will be opposed to it.
Yes, yes.
How much it's completely opposite. I agree with Adam about what Mitch McConnell did. I mean, there were seats that he blocked, that the Republicans blocked under President Obama going back to 2013, 2012, but they just blocked until Donald Trump came in and filled them in these lower courts, federal judges as well as on the circuit courts. The circuit courts can also be expanded. Some circuit courts are very large. Some are smaller. What they've done has been horrendous. They not only packed the courts, they packed them with people who are unqualified. Unqualified according to the American Bar Association, unqualified according to all of the legal experts, people who do not have the experience, do not have the ability, have been rated as unqualified by these prominent legal organizations. It's a real problem, and it's going to be one of the most important things Democrats tackle. And it's about impeachment, you know, yes, maybe you can't remove people, but as we saw with Donald Trump, it was important to hold him accountable, for the House of Representatives to do so. And I believe if Amy Coney Barrett is immediately called in to, settle some sort of election dispute and doesn't recuse herself, the House of Representatives should move to impeach her. To me, it is about accountability, whether or not that person is removed or not. Too often, Democrats haven't shown that they will hold Republicans accountable. And I think we need the judges on the Supreme Court to know if they are going to be used as tools, they will be then focused on and held accountable.
Yes, and, you know, back to the original Facebook statement that I received about a fair and unbiased regarding of this topic, I think the facts speak for themselves. I mean, just the Justice Department suspended all diversity inclusion training for staff. That's another way to discriminate, by just stop talking about and training people about race and gender biases. Adam?
You know, I so disheartened by that.
I know.
You had asked me a question, Jill, and I if you were coming to it soon, and I'm jumping out in front of that, my apologies.
That's all right, but you know what it is, so you go right ahead.
And I think it's such an important example of this. As a transgender individual, I always list my pronouns. What I've in my signature, in my emails, when I introduce myself at meetings, so on and so forth. I think it is so important that everyone, regardless of your gender identity, do so. And I'll make the connection to what you just said about the Justice Department in a moment. When we do this, especially as cisgendered allies, and for folks who aren't aware, cisgender is a term that just says if you are born biologically male and you identify biologically male, and there has been no realization that you don't match the gender, the identity at which you were born, that's what we call cisgender. So for cisgender people who are allies to also share their pronouns, what that tells me is, A, I'm in a safe space to be acknowledged, that my gender identity is acknowledged in a safe way, and B, that this is somebody who understands that we do a disservice when we say, well, I acknowledge that people have differences, but when we point those differences out, when we talk about them, that's where you're actually bringing into question things, and you're making space for people to feel uncomfortable. And the best thing that we can do is turn a blind eye, and we can all say that we're exactly the same. And I think it's so important to recognize what the Justice Department has done is just a furthering of what this administration, in the way that it dog whistles constantly about whether it's LGBTQ issues or otherwise. It's making people continuously feel more and more marginalized. I don't see myself represented in a safe way. There isn't anybody saying overtly, specifically, that I'm included here. And so there isn't the safety that there needs to be. When you remove diversity and equity training, and people who may very well feel like I don't have any desire to discriminate against somebody of this particular minoritized group, but without the training and without consistent understanding of what it means to be inclusive, such as showing your gender identity in your email signature, you're missing the boat on how to be inclusive. And when we're not inclusive, what that does is it leaves invisible people who are in minoritized communities. And for a queer person, such as myself, that visibility matters. Colorblind does not help me in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't make me aware that you see me and respect me. And that's what I need.
Oh, you said that
that's
so.
What equality is.
You said that so well, Adam. And Michelangelo, we'll get back to the discussion right after this break. You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. Listen to the show worldwide online from KSQD.org homepage or listen to the show's podcast at KSQD Be Bold American webpage. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
Hello, K-Squid listeners. I'm Todd Hartman, and each weekday at 4 p.m., I bring you a different perspective on the news than you're likely to hear on most media outlets. Please join me on KSQD Santa Cruz, your ink spot on the dial for the Tom Hartman program, heard now for the first time ever in the Monterey Bay Area at 90.7 FM, weekdays at 4 p.m. That's Progressive Talking Conversation with me, Tom Hartman, weekdays at 4 p.m. on KSQD 90.7 FM. Tag, you're it.
Today, our topic is LGBTQ History Month and the presidential election. We're speaking with Michelangelo Signorelli of the Michelangelo Signorelli Show on Sirius XM Radio that airs each weekday across the United States, Canada, and globally online. And Michelangelo is also the author of the Signorelli Report. Sign up at signorelli.substack.com. And we're speaking with Adam Spickler, a Cabrillo College Board of Trustees representing 27,000 people in Santa Cruz County, and who is the first openly transgender man to hold elected office at any level in the state of California. And Michelangelo, there is some hope, thinking of some bright light here. Your thoughts on the Pope's significant break from his predecessors in voicing support for same-sex couples to marry, and also whatever you wanted to add on what we were discussing a few minutes ago.
I'll add first what we were discussing. It's so important that we all educate one another about each other, and I find it unfathomable that anybody can be opposed to teaching people. We all come from very different places and experiences, teaching people about the experiences and basic respect of other people. And when we all come together in a workplace, we all come together in a school setting or any other setting, what we can do to try to understand each other and try to respect each other and have conversation that respects one another. It just is mind-boggling to me that some people see that as some sort of a threat, and that's what is driving this. It's a threat that somehow people feel they're being forced to learn something when they're really being educated about something that also, you know, is important for them. We need to learn their experience too. Everybody has an experience. So that to me, I think is so important, and it will be another priority for any new administration moving forward. Regarding the issue, and now I've lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's all right.
The issue you were talking
about. I wanted to make a comment on what you just said too, that actions speak louder than words, and they're threatened, but it's also the act of suspending all diversity and inclusion training is their act of disrespect.
Absolutely.
It's total disrespect to entire communities
right.
of race and gender,
right.
and they're overt about it, and that's what angers
right.
me. The other part of my question was
the Pope.
The Pope. Yes. Yeah.
it is, and as someone who was raised within the Catholic faith, and I'm not someone who is observant now, but I was raised within that faith, so I know it and I see it. This was light years in sort of Vatican time
yes.
for the Pope to say that he supports same-sex unions. Now, what often happens is then there's kind of a walk back and, you know, nothing really happens. Church doctrine hasn't changed, and that's a whole other thing. And they still call, homosexuality intrinsically disordered, and that would take a whole committee and to do that. And there's still many, many people within the church in the hierarchy who are just extremely transphobic and homophobic, and it, you know, it's going to take a very long time. But by making the statement, and again, knowing the amount of time it takes the Vatican, which finally apologized to Galileo in 1992.
That's right. Right?
So, you know, seeing him say this, and then another important thing that happened today, he made Bishop Gregory in Washington, Archbishop Gregory, a cardinal. Archbishop Gregory stood up to Donald Trump when Donald Trump tried to use the church as a sort of backdrop and a prop during the protests, use a Catholic basilica in Washington. Archbishop Gregory has been attacked by anti-LGBTQ conservatives in the church. So the Pope is moving to put in place cardinals who are more open and accepting, and those cardinals will be the future, who will decide who the next pope is, mm-hmm. and who will maybe start to work on the doctrine and change the doctrine. So this could take several generations. I just want to warn people of that. But someone has to move things, and I'm glad the Pope did that.
It's like a giant chess game, and he made one advance with saying the church will support same-sex couples. Adam and Michelangelo, I want to move into the keep, start, stop, getting your ideas on, regarding all this discussion, what our listeners can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing for maybe the next 5 minutes. So, Adam, how about I turn to you? Do you have suggestions of what listeners could keep doing, stop doing, and start doing?
Well, I'd like to put it in the keep category because I see so much of it here locally in Santa Cruz County, is staying engaged with progressive political groups, whether that be Swing Left, who's got a very active chapter here in Santa Cruz County, Santa Cruz Indivisible, staying plugged into the Santa Cruz County Democratic Central Committee or Democratic Party locally, but staying plugged in on the activities and actions we're doing. In and outside of explicitly political, you know, there are groups in Santa Cruz, because we're just, you know, on the heels of that discussion around the Pope and what's been going on over the last couple of days. Out in Our Faith is an extremely important group here of, I believe it's 22 faith-based member congregations who are part of Out in Our Faith that are explicit about being affirming of the LGBTQ community beyond just simply acceptance and tolerance, celebrating the LGBTQ community in their congregation. So the keep is keep plugging in to the groups. Here locally, it's so easy to find a Google search starting with the word Santa Cruz, and then any progressive, you know, bent that you have. Do a search if you don't know who to reach out to. And, of course, reach out to me. You can find me easily on the web and on Facebook. But keep staying plugged in. There are political actions taking place all the time. It includes standing up for the LGBTQ community and making sure our voice locally is being lent to the statewide and the nationwide voice for the right kind of change that we need.
Thank you, Adam. Michelangelo.
So it's keep, stop, and start.
Right. What listeners can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing.
What people need to keep doing is speaking out and being public and not feeling intimidated to be silent. And everybody has to obviously operate within, you know, what is safe for them. And we are in a world that often doesn't make it safe. But push your boundaries. Keep talking. Keep doing that. You know, pushing as much as you can on so many of these issues, and stop doing the kind of thing that is offensive to other people. Think about the things that you do every day in your own life. If you're a man, if you're white, if you have any privilege, if you're heterosexual, that you don't even think about, that really kind of allow you to move in this world with privilege. You know, stop operating in that way. Think about the ways that other people don't have that privilege. And then I say start, learning history, as we are talking about today, and LGBTQ history, and learning about people like Adam, who I'm so glad to be on the program with, who made history in California. It is so vital to learn this history, and it brings us back to what the topic of the entire show is. It's so vital for people to learn the history. I think that sort of is the groundwork to then moving forward on so many other things.
Thank you, Michelangelo. I want to give a huge thank you to Michelangelo and Adam for this conversation. I wish we had more time. I still have about 50% of my questions left. So thank you. And I'll be listening to you tomorrow, Michelangelo.
thank you.
You're welcome. I listen to you almost every day. In addition, I want to thank Be Bold America's program engineer, and Emily Donham, for her smooth behind-the-scenes activities to bring you this program. Next on Be Bold America, our interview guest will be Dr. Ronnie Lipschutz, who will be asking the question, is there a second civil war in our future? Countries descend into civil wars when contrasting conceptions of life within them are deemed irreconcilable, and living in them is made unbearable, and those controlling the state apparatus insist on obedience and deference to its way of being, on pain of erasure, meaning obliteration. Civil wars are struggles over competing ways of being in the world. So please join me on Sunday, November 8th at 5 p.m. to hear, is there a second civil war in our future? Want to listen to a program later? Find the Be Bold America podcast on KSQD's website or subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breakers, Radio Public, Overcast, and Pocket Cast. You're listening to KSQD Santa Cruz. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online at ksqd.org. Stay tuned for Faith Matters with Seth Shapiro. My name is Jill Cody, and thank you for listening to Be Bold America. Until next time, keep, stop, start.